Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is David Alexander Hitt, and welcome to African American Nation with.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, got you, got you. What do you think about that clip?
Well, I mean, that's one of his most famous clips when it comes to the whole YouTube revolution and whatnot. So, I mean, it's the truth.
Should we keep playing it or what?
Say that again?
Somebody ain't getting a message, I think.
Obviously not.
I think it's a lot of people ain't getting a message. I'm glad. I haven't talked to you in a long time. How you been?
I've been fine. Thank you, sir.
That's good. Everything's been going well for you?
Everything is going great. Everything is falling into place. Everything is going according to plan, just how I planned it. I know I've come on your show, and I've been on many shows, and I have my own show, and I was talking about us educating our own children. I think if we educate our own children, a lot of our issues that we have as far as being house Negroes and all that other good stuff. Sorry about that, bruh. would be pretty much null and void. I'm not saying that all of our problems would magically go away in a day, but a lot of our problems would be greatly reduced if we could get control of our children's education. And I've been talking about me wanting a school and starting a school for a long time, so that has finally come to fruition. The Kempora Institute will be up and running. I've secured the building. I've secured the curriculum. All I'm doing is just a lot of paperwork, a lot of tedious paperwork that you have to do to be a legitimate business. So other than that, everything is coming to fruition, love.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so where are you going to start? I mean, when you say education, what areas are you going to start? Science, history, math?
Yes. Well, I'm going to start off slow because you got to crawl before you walk. I'm going to start with K-1 or K-2. And each year, build on another class. So, you know what I'm saying, the second grade will go to the third grade, and it will follow all the way up until we get to the eighth grade, and then we'll be K-8. However, I'm going to start off small because I know a lot of people out here are struggling. And unfortunately, our priorities are a little skewed in the black community. We'd rather buy our children $200 sneakers than to spend $200 or $300 a month on their education. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That being said, it's going to start off slow. I understand that, but it's starting and it's going, and we have a base there, and we have a community that's in need of it, and that's open to it, you know, because you can have a community that's in need of it and that don't know that they're sick or in need of medicine, so. We have a community that is in need of it, and they know they're in need of it, and they're receptive to it. So, you know, that's a good thing, finding the proper location for whatever business that you're trying to open or whatnot. But anyway, go ahead. What were you about to ask me, Bob?
No, because the thing I was about to go ahead and bring up, because I was going to shoot straight into my topic, is dealing with education. Mm-hmm. One of the big things about education is our history. And it's some stuff that would disturb me because I worked last year for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then it was some things that was bothering me. It's been bothering me for a long time. I'm standing there, I'm like, what does this day really mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I came across a few things, and it was really, really disturbing what the day really means. And I'm beginning to go ahead and see, to feel that we shouldn't even be involved in this because it's not even something about us. It was the big massacre leading up to that day.
Yeah.
And you don't see, I never hear them talk about, okay, well, I had some Indians over at my house since Thanksgiving, but it was a big massacre. Mm-hmm. They have been wiping people out, and they use that pretty much the same tactics almost every place, and it's rough. Mm-hmm. I just want to get some of your thoughts and views about that, and how do you go ahead
when it comes to
the youth about their education.
Okay, when it comes to the whole, right after the Thanksgiving dinner, what a lot of people don't know, right after the Thanksgiving dinner, the Europeans, the pilgrims, actually gave, this was their thank you gift, their thanks to the Native Americans for teaching them how to plant food, for teaching them how to hunt, fish, gather, build houses, all that good stuff. The Europeans' thank you for that was to literally, I feed you, you give me a blanket laced with smallpox. You literally give me a bottle of some unknown liquid substance. And what, in most Native American cultures, what they do is they give it to their warriors. They give it to the chiefs and the warriors. So what they did was they gave these presents that these Europeans gave them to their warriors and their chiefs. And the chiefs obviously broke out with smallpox and died, and the rest became alcoholics. Hence why alcoholism is such a big deal in the Native American community. When it comes to Africans celebrating that, it's kind of bizarre because I wonder, I just sit back and wonder, how would it feel if somebody celebrated the goodness of the Ma'afa? How good would it feel? Somebody celebrating your children being cut out of your stomach and used as gator bait. Would you want to celebrate that? Would you want to celebrate your grandmother's left breast being bit off by a police dog, or your great-grandfather being hit in the head with a billy club, or lynched and burnt with his scrotums cut off? Is this a celebratory act? Is this something we need to celebrate? So when it comes right down to it, these are the things that our children will be learning in school in Kempera Institute. So, or Kempera. A lot of people pronounce it Kempera, whatever. You understand? Kempera Institute. These are the things that our children will be learning in my school. However, back to the point at hand, of course, this is not something that you would want to celebrate. Of course, this is not something that you would want to jubilant about. Are you serious? How do you celebrate blood, mayhem, trickery, deceit, lies, brutality, the genocide of a people? How do you now let's be honest here. The Native Americans are not the African Americans' friends. They're not the Africans' friends. They have proven that time and time again if you really study the history between Native Americans and blacks. They're not our friends. We have no friends. But if we're just going to look like I am not an Arab's friend, but you think about Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, the rest of these Arabs being killed, it kind of pulls at your heartstring like, damn, like, really? Are you serious? Are you doing this? You know, so when it comes down to it, okay, Native Americans are not a friend, but let's look at the act in and of itself. Is this how you really repay a people? And those people who repaid the Native Americans with blankets laced in smallpox and alcohol, do we now entrust them with our babies? Do we now entrust them with our economics? Do we now entrust them with our health? Do we now entrust them with our lives? Are you serious? No, this is not something to be celebrated by black people. And I'm getting sick also. I just want to hit on this point real quick. I had a lot of Negroes talking about, I have Indian in my family. Girl, you got good hair. You must got Indian in your family. Okay. Well, the next time Thanksgiving rolls around, which is, I guess, the day after tomorrow, you know, the next time Thanksgiving rolls around, since you have Indian in your family, because you got quote unquote good hair, I want you to go to an Indian reservation and see how they celebrate Thanksgiving. Go to a powwow, go to your cousin Little Bigfoot or Sleeping Bear or Big Night Wolf or whatever it is. You go to your cousin and you find out exactly how do they celebrate Thanksgiving. Is this a time of mourning or is this a time of celebration? I'm just saying, that's my thoughts on Thanksgiving.
You know, it's one of those things where we celebrate our own genocide, and I think we do it unknowingly, and that's a big problem. I mean, I would like to go ahead and see everybody go ahead and have this big dinner every Sunday. Everybody come together every Sunday, discuss what went on.
Why does it have to be Sunday? Why can't it be Saturday? Why can't it be Friday? Why does it have to be Sunday? Yeah.
Well, for me personally, I think it should be every day, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, but just go ahead and pick that one day out the week that we had it going on like that for a while. There was that one day. Mm-hmm. But regardless of what you discussed, everybody came together. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Indians were not totally our friends, but there's still lessons we need to learn with what these people have done.
But see,
there's still lessons
the thing
learned.
Of it is, when it comes to the lessons that need to be learned, it's not with them. It's with their mothers and their fathers. Their mothers and their fathers, every time you look in the mirror, you're looking at their mothers and fathers. You can learn the lesson with yourself and your history. Your history is as parallel to theirs and worse and more grotesque and more stank and more stark and more destitute than theirs. You understand what I'm trying to say? They actually have land masses. They actually have institutions. Hell, they're loaning people money. They have casinos. We don't have shit. So when it comes right down to it, if you really want to learn from the lessons of the past and looking at Thanksgiving, let's look at the times when the same Europeans came to our shores and offer does. Desmond Tutu said it best, and I've said this on the air before, but I'll say it again for your listeners, that Desmond Tutu is cool. Tutu, as cool as he is, and he is a coon. I mean, he's the archbishop in the Catholic Church. I mean, just by the mere fact of his occupation, we already know he's a coon, okay? Bottom line is, he said something that was very profound. He said something to the effect of, when the European came to our shore, we had land, they had the Bible. They said, close your eyes, let's pray. When we woke up, they had our land, and we had their Bible. So we can learn from our own history if we have the enough mental fortitude to actually study. My granddaddy used to always say, if you want to hide something from an N or a Negro, you put it in the book, because that's someplace we ain't never gonna look. You dig?
Yeah, you know. So it's what the thing about the training facility that you're creating, it sounds pretty good, because you're going ahead and getting them at a good age.
Say that again?
Because I think that you're getting them at a good age, you know, dealing with your training facility. Because beyond that, you know, it could be a problem. And so to go
that's
ahead
right.
and to learn what's been going on in our history and how we came to be, you know, that we need to go ahead and learn that. So it's one of those things where...
If not, we need to go ahead and learn it. It's essential.
Right. Well,
we
it's
learn.
One of those things that still
it's, no,
still
it's
frightening
essential
you, you know,
that
you
we
came.
Learn it, because if we do not learn it, if we do not learn it, we, seriously, and as you can tell by this generation that's coming up after us, we're surely going to repeat it. We're surely going to keep going on and doing the same goofy, dumb thing. So my thing is, brother, it's not, oh, yeah, we need to go ahead and learn it, like a blasé or lackadaisical about it. No, it is a must we learn the true history behind Thanksgiving. It's a must that we learn the true meaning and history behind Christmas and Easter and the rest of these holidays. Even Martin Luther King holiday. You need to understand why there is no Malcolm X holiday and there's a Martin Luther King holiday. You need to understand the ramifications of this, because if you don't know it, you surely will freaking repeat it. You will surely repeat it. So let's not be lackadaisical about it.
Yeah. It's a must. It's a definite must. And the thing that I don't like with our people is that they don't want to go ahead and teach their history, but they're real quick to go ahead and teach the history and celebrate that of others real fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, within a blink of an eye, and go ahead and overlook what has happened to them. And I don't like that thing. It's almost the thing where it's that forgive and forget line keep coming up, forgive and forget, but we go ahead and celebrate the massacre of other individuals, but don't go ahead and look at the genocide and the our own Holocaust.
That's right. Because if we look at our own Holocaust, we will understand where all the rest of the Holocaust, because it comes from us. It started with us. Before there was a Nazi Germany or that made-up, fabricated bull crap, before it was all of that, it started with us. It started with, you know, them Arabs and them, you know, the Arabs coming down with their little towel heads, setting up shop on our bank. Then it progressed to the European Anglo-Saxon coming in and snatching us and bringing us through the diaspora or the transatlantic slave trade or whatever they want to call it. We call it, in the African-centered community, we call it the Ma'afa. But these are things that, if you want to know why everything else is happening, how about you go to the point of origin? The point of origin has always, will be, and since time immemorial, has always been us. So if you want to understand where this is coming from and why you should not celebrate these atrocities, just look in the mirror. Read your own history.
So have you found a place to go ahead and where you're getting your books and things like that from? How are you doing that?
The books have already been provided for. Luckily, I have an elder. I don't call our elders sisters or brothers. They are actually eons and babas. You know, once you reach the age of 55, you're a baba, and once you reach the age of 55, if you're a woman, you are an ea. And so, the EI, she already has all the books in place. She literally owns the building. She literally owns the school. Like, this is not Hamilton County Public Schools, or this is not Cincinnati Public Schools. This is her building, you know.
Okay.
And she has a school. She has when you walk into a classroom, everything you expect to see is already there. She's already laid the groundwork for me.
Okay. You got sports in there?
Excuse me?
You're going to work some sports in there? They're going to teach them how to be a little football
absolutely.
Players and basketball?
Absolutely, absolutely. I already have someone who's not sports, self-defense, and we even have a garden. Yeah. Oh, they're going to be doing
physical
activity. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a greenhouse behind the school.
I can't remember the name. There was this guy talking about how building these gardens and stacking them up like apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
And it was a nice greenhouse thing where he had windows, and I mean it was man, I need to find that. Hopefully I can remember what it was. But yeah, but it was a nice thing. And what they were doing was it was a hydro thing here, and he was making it pretty hot. And they said that China's already adopted this idea, but I think it's a good thing to go ahead and just recirculate that water, and go ahead and deal with all those plants, and it could also go ahead and repollinate those plants.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find that information. I can get that in.
And the same food that the children are cultivating, the same food that the children are actually planting and growing, will be the same food they eat in their vegan meals, their vegan breakfast, their vegan lunch, and their vegan after-school snack or meal. These are the same.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this guy was also doing. Everything they were growing.
But he got it from us. And see, that's the thing, Dr. Mill, the EI that I'm working under, she's been doing this for the last 50 years. This is not new. Yeah, this is not nothing new to us. This is something that has been going on in our communities, but it's been a quiet secret because they have been constantly fighting with the state. They've been constantly fighting with Europeans who want to shut them down because how dare you educate your own children? How dare you? You have no right to educate your own babies, even though the Catholics and the Irish and the Jews and everybody else has the right to educate their own children. You, Negro, you have no right to educate your own children. So she's been fighting with the state, but the state of Ohio, but the fact of the matter is it was there. It is there, and she has all the bones and the structure, the foundation in place. I don't need to do anything but go in and move in and do what I do and start educating babies, but I got to first do the whole getting it chartered up under the spiritual school thing so I can get the accreditation with the department the Ohio Department of Education and all this other nonsense that you have to do. But the bottom line is you know that's what I have to do.
How many jobs do you think you can create? How many jobs do you think you can create from this?
For the first year. The first couple of years, because with a business like this, I have to be very conservative because I cannot, failure is not an option for me. So for the first year, probably maybe two or three jobs. I need to have an assistant, and I need to have another teacher. Well, actually, I need to have two assistants and another teacher. I can actually create three jobs for another full-time certified teacher and two teacher's aides. We already have the lunch lady. She's already subcontracted out. So that's the sister who's going to be doing it. I'm going to be the principal of my school, the CEO of the directors, the board of directors and all that, and the chairperson, or the president, I should say, the president. And then I have to find a chairperson and all these other boards. But the board of directors, they do not get paid. That's volunteer. They actually invest in the school, and they actually go out and find other funding by other black businesses for the school. So for the first 2 years, I can say I can produce another, I can employ three other people. Now, as the school grows, I'm going to need more certified teachers, and I'm going to need more teachers' aides. I'm going to need a janitor. I'm going to need another office assistant. I'm going to need a vice principal. I'm going to need a whole. So within my 10-year goal, would probably be to employ approximately 20 25 people.
Okay.
That's not that much, but think about it like this. If everybody follows the blueprint for this and opens their own school for our own children, how many people do you think would be employed in our communities? How many black teachers do we have? We have a lot of black teachers out there.
Right.
You know,
so how many students do you have?
For the first year, 40 students. 20 in my kindergarten, 20 in my first.
That's
a conservative effort. If I have to get second grade, well, then I'll just go ahead and implement second grade. That would be 60 students.
Okay.
But I'm not going over 20 students in a classroom.
So do you think you can expand?
I'm definitely going to expand. Are you talking about internationally or just nationally?
Yeah, both.
Both are on the plate. After the 10-year expansion or whatever, we should be well-prepared to go into the worst city in the country and to implement the same curriculum, the same blueprint, and follow the same structure that I followed for success and implement it in the worst school system in the nation. Dayton, Ohio, right here where I live, is one of the worst. No, I'm sorry. It is the worst school system in Ohio. In Ohio, it's the worst. But there are worse ones than this. Maybe in Mississippi, maybe in whatever. I don't know. But the bottom line is, we will implement it in the worst one. We're going to keep doing that. Baltimore has a shoddy school system. D.C. has a shoddy school system. Prince George County has a shot. I mean, Jacksonville, Florida, they're horrible. So when it comes down to it, we're going to implement a couple of schools throughout the nation where it's essential to get these students and people like us in these classrooms teaching these students who have been thrown away, said, oh, you can't do anything with them. They need to be on some psychotropic drugs. They need to be on this. They need to be on that. They need an IEP. They need a jacket. They need all that crap. You bring them students to us, and I guarantee you they're going to crush your highest students, the top-ranked white students that has all the money. I guarantee you. I guarantee you, statistically and on the test, the standardized test, pound for pound, we will be able to demolish them. It's been proven with this curriculum that we have. Second of all, we plan on implementing a school in Haiti, and we plan on implementing a couple of schools in our mother, which is, you know what I'm saying, Africa. I have a thing from Gaborone, Botswana. I do, you know. So we'll see where that goes. But, yes, we definitely, and I think a lot of people, regardless if you're in the educational level or if you're in marketing, if you're in human resources, you need to think globally. So, yes, I'm taking this school globally, but right now, I'm starting with K through 1. This is the baby step that I have to take.
So it's okay. You mentioned something about business. So you eventually you like to go ahead and get individuals into business. You mentioned something about that.
I know. Are you talking about my students or what are you talking about?
Okay, you deal with I know they'd be pretty young, being in second grade. But as far as like business for, what kind of ideas would you have as far as going ahead and dealing with education?
What kind of ideas would I have about going ahead and dealing with education?
Yeah, business education, okay, economics.
My thing is, look, when our children, with this, like I said, with this curriculum that I'm talking about, with our children, by the time they're in the first grade, they already know how to speak another language. They already know how to damn near read a whole novel. They're not asking you, Mommy, what is this picture? Daddy, what is that word? They're not asking you that. They're reading to you. They're reading you to sleep. You dig? So when it comes right down to it, our children are naturally brilliant and geniuses. I'm not going to sit up here and promote any child going to any college for any reason, because everything that they need to know by the time they get out of our school, and I guess I do plan on taking them to the 12th grade eventually also, by the time they get out of our school, they'll already have their economics. I'm not going to tell you to go to school, get a whole bunch of student loans, get into a whole bunch of debt, to get a good job, to pay off the student loans. that sick cycle that we tell our children to go through. No, I'm going to tell you to get out of school and own a good business. That's economics 101. You give back to your school, you give back to your community, you take care of your community, you buy up that abandoned, ugly, eyesore building, you revamp that building, you put in a business that those people specifically need in that particular community, regardless of what it is. If it's fake hair, if it's fake nails, whatever it is, except for, you know, liquor and drugs and all that other good stuff, whatever you see a need, and I really don't like the fake hair aspect of it too, but you know black women and they fake hair, I swear. But I'm just saying.
Hey, so I want you to deal with that real quick. What industry would you think that we need to go ahead and deal with first? You know, we put forth the proper education so we can go ahead and maybe take over.
Okay. I don't understand how we get our oil from Arabs, and then we pay Arabs to buy our oil. They have a monopoly on gas stations. They have a monopoly on our corner store grocery stores. Nobody wants to do that grocery store thing. They're like, I want a corner office in a big building. Why? Why? Because right here in Dayton, they closed the last grocery store that was here. You have to go northwest to Dayton to get a grocery store, which is Kroger. The Kroger that was on Gettysburg, it was nothing wrong with that Kroger, but they decided to close it. It wasn't a whole bunch of people spilling out of there, no more than what they do out here in Miamisburg and Oakwood and Centerville and Beaver Creek. It was no different. Yeah, you have people going in there stealing packs of meat. Yeah, you got people going in there stealing maxi packs of Similac.
Oh, sister, there's nobody stealing more than any place.
Say that again?
That's funny. No, you're talking about them stealing.
Yeah, I'm saying, no, I'm not saying they're not stealing anymore. I'm saying they're not stealing any more than the crack is on their side of the fence. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing, exactly. And what I'm saying, Brother Rob, is the fact that, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought, but when it comes right down to it, there was no purpose, there was no reason for them to close that grocery store down on the west side of Dayton, but they did. So now it's an eyesore, and guess what it's about to become? It's about to become a mega church. So,
yeah, it's that food desert thing. It's also here in Chicago. It's also
right.
Here in Chicago.
So we need to get control of our babies and their education, we need to get control of our food. And that's why I say, you need to buy up these grocery stores. You need to put these Arabs and these Asians out of business. Madam C.J. Walker, as cool as she was, did not create what she created for her to give it away to Koreans. You take that back. It belongs to you. There's no reason why you shouldn't have control. There's no reason why you shouldn't be making the wig. And that's what we have gotten away from. That's another thing that we are going to be teaching our children. Don't just think about being a merchant. Think about being the producer. You need to produce what it is our people need. So if they need toilet paper, you need to learn how to make toilet paper. You need to learn how to make the best toilet paper. That toilet paper between cotton nail and angel soft. That super duper perfect toilet paper. And you need to market that. You need to market whatever hair care products, skin products, deodorant, toothpaste, whatever necessity our people need, and those are all necessities. Whatever our people need, that's what you need to produce. And that's what we have gotten away from. I was watching this movie. It's a Jamaican movie called Rockers, and in one of the little things that stuck out to me, they produced their own records. They actually made from this nasty wax-looking stuff a record. They literally made their own records. What is the problem with us making our own stuff? And that is what we have gotten away from. We used to be the tailors. We used to be the people who produced food. We used to be that, but now it became unfashionable. And you're paying me pennies, but those pennies add up. Those pennies add up to millions. So
that's a big problem for me too, because I'm trying to work on this one project called From the Ground to the Table. So it's hard to convince a lot of us about how important it is to go ahead and get into the close to the raw resources. It's really hard. I just point blank tell them, hey, look, man, you need to get into being a farmer. That's some of the richest people on the planet are farmers. Or they own a farm. They're associated with a farm. Mm-hmm. They're getting the raw materials. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of our people that think it's something low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
They do.
I really don't get that. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm saying, hey, brother, you know, no, no. Because I was also trying, and someone said before, if you can go ahead and convince your family to go ahead and get on board with a lot of things, you'll be all right. Man, my family, they ain't with that farm stuff, and I got relatives got farms.
Mm-hmm.
They want to run away from that? Oh, no, I ain't doing that. They'd rather go work for somebody and go ahead and take a bunch of bullshit, you know, really take a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I've been trying to figure that out for the longest, trying to figure out, you know, why we can't go ahead.
Because it's not fashionable. Because you don't have a 401k. Because you don't have a retirement. Because you don't have a. Can you wait 1 second, brother?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah,
wait 1 second, please.
All right. Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead and take care of that? And my thoughts are really...
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm back. I do apologize for that. I had a little mishap here, a little technical difficulties. But anyway, go ahead.
Now, my thing is to really try to enlighten people. And I got a little bit of a plan. I want to get with you about it later on and talk to you about it. Because I also want to go ahead and talk to you about some people I came across to go ahead and help you fund some of these endeavors here.
That would be beautiful. I mean, because this is, believe me, whatever they invest, they would get it back tenfold. Trust me. That's another thing. I have to secure a CPA. I have to secure a certified public. Yeah, when you're doing a nonprofit, yes.
Really?
You have to have this is a sister who gave me free advice on it. You have to, another sister who's like, African senator, whatever, she was like, sis, when you're doing a 501, this, that, and the third, blah, 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 you have to have a lawyer on staff, and you have to have a certified public accountant. So my thing is, whatever they invest into my school, they will definitely get it back and have a freaking write-off. I mean, they will be good, so... I don't want people to think like, oh, she's running a shady business, or black people don't know how to do things in order, and all this and the third. We do know how to do things in order. You just have to get the right people, you know? We're going to have a before care program. We're going to have an after care program.
Let me ask. So you got your whole plan script out already. You got it all written out and maybe Notary Public stamped it. So you got everything already scripted out, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's all you need. That's all you need. I think I got some people for you.
Okay. That's what's up. Let's work together.
Yeah, I got a dynamic sister, but I want to go ahead and see how we can go ahead and implement that plan here also, because every city needs it.
But they already have that plan there. You have the Freedom Institute. You have the Freedom Academy. You have the Freedom Academy there. The brother is
brilliant.
See, I
don't know this. Help me here. Help me.
The brother is brilliant. His name is Marcus Klein. He has the Freedom Academy there. And the brother Klein.
Hold on.
You don't spell his last name. K-L-I-N-E. Klein.
And the Freedom Academy.
Yeah, Freedom Academy. And let me tell you something. Them brothers and sisters in that school are teaching them children Arabic. They're teaching them French, Spanish. They know physics. They know anatomy, astronomy. They know biology, chemistry. They know all that. By the time they're in the third, fourth grade, they got it all under wraps. There's nobody who can bang with them on any standardized test anywhere, anytime, ever. Because you have to realize the creator, the mother and the father creator, made our heads big as hell before we're the age of seven. But when we're seven, before we're seven, our heads are the biggest parts of our body. That means our brain is the biggest part of our body. That means our brains are sponges. That means everything that you need to give that child, you need to hurry up and give it to them before they turn seven. every single thing. Don't sit up here and belittle them and give them Sesame Street. You don't give them Sesame Street. You tell them about Wall Street.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't tell them. You don't tell them about peanut butter and jelly. You tell them about George Washington Carver. You tell them exactly what it is that they need to learn before the age of 7. You get them before they're 7 years old, and I'm telling you, you'll have a genius on your hands.
Yeah, you got to get them early. Because this one thing, like me, I'm a chef. And so one thing that stood out to me when I was working with some of these cats from Europe, and this Italian guy, this French guy, he was saying, hey, look, you know, a lot of kids we take out of school and they're 4 years old and start teaching them cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to go ahead and do that in a little bit more. You know, it's time. It's well.
It's time. It is time. And I will hopefully later on like to implement stuff like that. A lot of people, and I know people who will listen to your archive show, they will not agree with me when I say this, but Marcus Garvey studied up under Booker T. Washington. But a lot of people call Booker T. Washington a sellout and a coon. But what they don't know about Booker T. Washington is they've never visited his house in Tuskegee. They've never visited his house. They've never seen the compartments and the hideaway spots in his house. And while he was the first black man dining in the White House as the president at that time, he had sent out his goon squad to go and round up the men and women who were scheduled to be lynched that day and to hide them in his house. Nobody knew that about him, but he did that.
Really?
And like I said, Marcus Garvey studied up under what is his name? Why did his name just slip my mind that quick? Booker T. Washington. And one of the things, you can't have a political base. You can't have a social base. You can't have a civil base or anything like that unless you have an economic base. So when
exactly.
You shut the hell up about all this civil rights, social rights, human rights, all that other, just shut up about it. Get your economics together. Get some land, because that's true wealth. You get your land, you get your economics up, you start producing the goods that people actually need. We don't have to have a discussion about this little fuckery Thanksgiving. We don't have to have a discussion anymore about Christmas. We will have our nation being built. That's what we will have. But
exactly.
We sit up here and try to put the cart before the horse. And we want our rights, our equal white rights are just now. You need to get your economics in order first. Once you get your
priorities
economics
are all messed
in
up.
Order. Yes,
priorities
our priorities
are all
very
messed
up. Yes.
And that's a big problem. And then starting off really pretty young is pretty good. Sister, I got about 90 seconds left, so I want to go ahead and explain if anybody want to get in touch with you to donate, help you out. Run that by.
Okay. I still got to set up the Kemper Institute. I hope you'll have me back on, so I'll give you the PayPal account and everything like that. But if you need to get in contact with me, you can contact me at KemperaInstitute@hotmail.com. Once again, KemperaInstitute@hotmail.com. Or you can hit me up on Gmail and saying, I don't want to give out that email. Just go ahead and hit me up at KemperaInstitute@hotmail.com. So that's how they can get in contact with me, and I'll have more up-to-date information for you probably by next week, okay?
No problem. I'm give me a few minutes. I'm going to get in touch with you because I got somebody. I'm going to tell you about this individual, so I think I got somebody that can go ahead and help you with some stuff. I'm pretty positive. She's a CPA.
Okay.
She can run a whole lot of stuff, okay?
That's what I'm talking about, brother. I love you so much. Thank you. See, the people, this is what black power is really about. This right here is black power.
Okay. All right, baby. That's my show. Okay. I wish you a good night. And peace and be safe. Thank you.
Peace. Bye. Thank you. Peace.